americares.org/sendusin.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop. The all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After visiting hurricane-ravaged North Carolina, President Trump will be in Southern California to get briefed on the deadly wildfires. Another round of fierce winds and wildfires in California, and now residents are bracing for rain and snow.
In an abrupt switch, Southern California is going from red flag fire warnings, fire danger warnings, and wind warnings expiring today to a winter weather advisory for rain and snow in the mountains. It won't be a ton of rain, but enough that there are worries in the recent wildfire burn zones because the ground is so charred that it cannot absorb water. It's prone to mudslides and debris flows. Free sandbags are available and concrete barriers are being put into place to divert water and mud.
ABC's Alex Stone. The president, while in North Carolina, hinted he's considering getting rid of FEMA and letting states implement federal aid. L.A. District Attorney announcing rocker Marilyn Manson will not face sexual assault and domestic violence charges, saying they could not prove allegations beyond a reasonable doubt. This is ABC News. Washington, D.C.'s newest pair of giant pandas make their public debut at the National Zoo.
Pandemonium at the National Zoo. After traveling from China and then 3 months in quarantine, superstar pandas Bao Li and King Bo making their long-awaited public debut.
They're huge. They're way bigger than I thought.
This visitor, along with her young goddaughter, getting up before dawn.
It's so cute to see her so excited to see the panda. It's her first panda that she's ever seen.
The pandas spending their first day in their enclosure enjoying bamboo and playing in the snow. Dave Packer, ABC News.
You can watch the pandas on the newly relaunched Giant Panda Cam on the National Zoo's website. The website Substack has come up with a $20 million plan to lure former TikTokers. The company says it's promising content creators. They won't lose any revenue if they come on board. It also says it will provide strategic and business support. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Former Wausau resident will be tried for child sex charges in Marathon County Court.
48-year-old Xu Yang is accused of forcing a child to have sex with him on multiple occasions, dating back as far as 2008 when he was dating the child's mother. On Wednesday, a judge scheduled a three-day trial to run between October 27th and 29th with a pretrial conference in April. He's pled not guilty to the charges, but if found guilty at trial, he faces decades in prison. The 48-year-old is free on bond with several conditions, including a no-contact order against the victim and their family. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Congressman Glenn Grothman hasn't been back to his district office in Fond du Lac since an arson suspect set fire to the building early Sunday morning. The 6th District Republican says he's grateful to those who reported it and Fond du Lac police and firefighters for their quick response.
Because the fire was behind the strip mall, it easily could have gone on for 15 minutes, a half hour before anybody saw it, in which case there would have been real damage.
The 19-year-old Menasha man suspected of setting the fire allegedly told police he did it because he wasn't happy with the congressman voting for a ban on TikTok. President Trump put a stop to the ban after he was sworn into office. A new study on chronic wasting disease from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources shows deer populations are likely declining in impacted areas. Deer research specialist Daniel Storm says prevalence in female deer has the greatest impact on population.
And we find that chronic wasting disease immediately chips away at population growth potential, you'd say. And it's only when basically CWD prevalence of adult females reaches 30% or so where you start to see where the disease is causing a decline in the deer population.
Storm says they sampled more than 1,000 deer in southwestern Wisconsin for the study. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny to start, then increasing clouds. A little bit of light snow developing in the afternoon. Any accumulations will be minor. Look for high temperatures right around 20. For tonight, still a few flurries around. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with lows in the upper teens. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Current temperature, 18 degrees.
And welcome in. Good to have you with us here for AOA, Agriculture America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have plenty to get to on the program today. I will say I'm a little under the weather. I'm a little stuffed up, so we're going to do our best to make it through the next hour here. A lot of vitamin C and other things have been going into my body here the last 24 hours or so. It is no doubt that time of year when sickness is going around. So hopefully you are staying healthy and happy at your homes and on your farms and ranches. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with Tim Lust, the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, have a conversation about his recent trade trip to India. Also, some thoughts on where things stand with the new administration, farm bill outlook and timeline, and much more. In segment three, we're going to talk 45Z, the reintroduction of the Farm to Fly Act, and also thoughts on EPA pick Lee Zeldin passing out of committee, and the latest on the Deer FTC lawsuit. DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely will be with us coming up after the bottom of the hour. And then we'll take a look at news headlines in segment four. USDA nominee Brooke Rollins had her day before the Senate Ag Committee on Thursday. We'll have comments and highlights from that hearing and more coming up at the end of the show today. Let's kick things off. Take a look at what's happening in the markets on Friday as we close out the week. Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing joins us. Chris, welcome back to AOA. Hope all is well.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing my best to stay away from coughing on the air here as much as possible. Dealing with a little bit of a bug. So we're going to make it through, though, the next 60 minutes, no doubt. And I got to ask you just to start here in the markets. Setting back a little bit in grains on Friday, but you know, post inauguration day and Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's been a volatile market, but it's been a good one, I would say, for the most part, for grain producers. I mean, talk about your feelings of what we've seen the last several sessions.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest boost was the USDA, and most people, there's a long list of people out there who don't like the USDA. I'm not going to go down that road, but they gave us a bullish surprise in corn and beans, cutting the yields, cutting the carryout, surprised a lot of people. And, you know, that has helped fuel us. We had a tremendous rally after that report. And what did it give us? Well, it gave us spot corn. I think that's been the biggest story. Spot corn, corn in the bin. And everybody for 2 years we've been waiting for, you know, a good rally. Well, we are now, as of yesterday's high. Now, we've given back a little bit, but as of yesterday's high, we rallied, you know, 90 cents off that contract low back in August at 404. So that is a gift to producers. Now, most guys don't want to sell into 10 or 20 or 30, but I think at 90-cent moves, you know, something's got to give. Use it. Take advantage of it. You know, you don't want to sit there. But that is something that, you know, we may see it go higher. I'm worried about this. A lot of people want to get to round numbers, right? They won't sell it until they see the five print. Don't miss selling corn here because you demand that $5 print. I hope we get there. But, you know, 494, you know, don't miss that sale demanding the last, you know, 2 or 3 cents. So don't be like Mr. Whipple back in the old days. Don't squeeze the Charmin. This has been a gift, and take advantage of it. That's what I would say. Soybeans, same thing. We had a tremendous rally. Really a dollar off the lows after things looking pretty dismal. A lot of people were concerned about what the tariffs were going to be. And right now, you know, those people that got too bearish based on what they thought was going to happen, you know, they potentially missed out on this good rally. So really good rallies in both corn and beans. Not so much for wheat. Wheat's in a different story. But absolutely, there are a lot of farmers out there that are listening right now. You've got corn in the bin. You need to get after it up here. I don't care what your basis is. I know I can't do anything about your basis, but the flat price has given you a gift.
Chris, I wonder too here, South American weather is going to really be at play the next several weeks ahead. We've heard a lot of concerns about Argentina's crop conditions and maybe even some quality concerns with all the rains in central and northern Brazil for soybeans there. So, and looking at that, plus I saw the note Thursday, Argentina slashed its export taxes for many ag commodities. So I wonder if that in itself could be a story that plays into the grain markets. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's a reason we gapped open lower or sharply lower last night when that news came out because, yeah, they lowered their taxes. They're trying to get their farmers. You know, they produce a ton of soybeans, a ton of soybean meal, and a ton of corn. So they're looking at the same prices that we're looking at. You know, we've had a $1.30 rally in spot beans. We had a 90-cent rally up the bottom in corn, 45 of it just since December. So they're looking at that, and they're saying, how do we get our farmers to do what every farmer hates to do? I don't care if you're North America, South America, or, you know, anywhere else. Farmers hate to sell the grain, right, because they're worried that as soon as they sell it, it's going to go higher. So I think that, you know, them cutting their export taxes, now, is it going to last? I don't know. It's only till June. You know, it's they're coming into their harvest season. So I think they're trying to get their farmers to reward this rally. And how do you do it? Well, you cut your taxes. And is it going to affect our prices? Yeah, because it is a global market. But I don't know if it's going to be the single, you know, the single worst thing. Right now, I think the biggest shock to the market was what the USDA did with carryout. Worldwide carryout is tight for corn. That's something that might be positive here. So I think what we're looking ahead to is, you know, we're heading into February. Believe it or not, you know, in April 15th, you guys will be out there farming, getting this crop in. I think the next big hurdle, yes, is going to be planting intentions, which comes at the end of March. So if we continue to hold up here, again, you got to look at where we are, big picture, 30,000 feet. You've got spot corn at, you know, 8-month highs. You've got spot beans at 3-month highs. Don't let that slip away from us, right? That's the biggest thing. Reward it, defend it, protect it.
We got 60 seconds, Chris. Cattle futures setting records. What's your thoughts in this cattle market right now?
Apparently, as long as the stock market is never going to correct, right? And this, we're in that crazy time. It makes you think back to the dot-com bubble. And I was just a kid, but I lived through that. I was just a kid. I was in my 20s. But, you know, sooner or later, this market's going to correct. Fundamentally, there's a lot of reasons everybody's been bullish cattle. We are at all-time highs. We are on probably one of the best bull markets that they'll study for the next 20 years. If you look at the move since the COVID lows in cattle, it's just been nothing but astounding. Again, I'm not in the business of calling tops. I think producers, you know, when you get these types of gifts, defend, and just hope it keeps going. We've gone up $50 in 4.5 months, since the September low. Feeder cattle have gone up $50. Is that sustainable? Well, I hope so, but we're at key levels. We got fat cattle at $2. That's something a lot of guys never thought they'd see. We've got feeder cattle spot at $2.75. Are we going to see $3 feeder cattle possibly? So take advantage of it.
RobinsonAgMarketing.com for more. Chris Robinson, appreciate you joining us here on AOA, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Take care.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Tim Lust, the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, here on AOA. Are you heading to NCBA in San Antonio? On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Agriculture is a busy job and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Joining us now, pleased to connect with the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. Tim Lust is with us here on the show. Tim, it's good to hear from you again. Welcome back to AOA. Hope all is well.
Happy to be with you.
Well, let's start, Tim. First off, I know you just returned from a trip to India, and I'd love to hear how that experience was. You know, for a long time now, a lot of folks in U.S. agriculture have been kind of pointing towards India as maybe a next great avenue, so to speak, for trade relations and more. So walk us through what happened on that trip and what was your experience this time around in India?
Well, I'd just say, you know, very different than early in my career. So, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, really, we took a really serious look at India and, you know, just wasn't, time wasn't right. And now this is my second trip in the last 6 months to India. And, you know, every time I go, I get a little bit more excited about the potential and the urgency continue. We spent a lot of our time in India this time meeting with the poultry sector as well as the ethanol industry, and with tremendous growth in the ethanol industry in India, certainly it is drastically changing feedstock availability, and the poultry industry is definitely feeling that. And, you know, they talk about, well, we're just not growing that fast. We're only growing 7 or 8% a year. You know, when you look at the size and scope and the growth rates, a lot of opportunity for commodities going in there. And certainly sorghum is a non-GMO feedstock, which is an issue for them. Gives us a great opportunity to hopefully get into a market that will also be good for U.S. agriculture for a lot of other products longer term.
Well, I think about this aspect, too, with the new administration taking hold, Trump administration 2.0. There's been a lot of talk about tariffs and analyzing and examining current trade deals and looking at potential new trade deals and more. And so with all that in mind, with some of the rhetoric we've heard from this administration, what are your thoughts on the potential for a bigger trade deal potentially between the U.S. and India here sometime in the next few years, Tim?
I think it's critical. You know, we have a 50% tariff going into India, so that pretty well stops trade because of that significant tariff. And, you know, we know that under Trump 1, the end of Trump 1, the government's got fairly close, maybe not a huge trade deal, but it was a meaningful trade deal that they had worked on. So we know there's work that's been done in the past, and believe that it makes, you know, total sense that it be one of the priorities as we go into discussions and negotiations on trade. And we're excited on what possibilities are there.
Tim, thinking about this as well, with the administration, we just got the Climate Smart Ag news, of course, rolled out at the end of the Biden administration, and 45Z guidance and more. And I know sorghum was included as a feedstock here, but a lot of this has been punted essentially to the Trump administration. So what are your feelings on the whole 45Z Climate Smart Ag outlook here as we move forward?
Well, I think it's, you know, when RFS was rolled out in, 2008, you know, sorghum got left out. And so part of our key goal was is make sure sorghum was included. And so excited that it was in terms of that. Now where it goes and what it means certainly is up to a new administration. Certainly they're going to come in, they're going to evaluate things and going to evaluate, you know, what makes sense with the priorities that they have. I still believe, you know, that ethanol is going to be one of those. And I think some of their early announcements on E15 certainly point that way. Have to work through the details. You know, there will always be a lot of drama early on in administrations as things come in and make changes and look at things. But I think the other side of that is obviously our job to put the policy items in front of them and show the benefits for you know, making American agriculture and farming solid and stable and the value biofuels brings to U.S. agriculture is just critical when we look at just look at supply and demand and how important U.S. biofuels are to our industry. So we'll have to navigate the waters and figure out how it all works you know, what maybe gets tweaked. But, you know, certainly it's a starting place and then we'll continue to move forward with the new administration.
Tim Lust, the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, with us here on AOA today. Tim, Farm Bill, we should touch on that a little bit now as the new Congress is underway. We're starting to get the ball rolling through the confirmation hearings, of course, and more. But Farm Bill is top of mind. We've heard from the leaders on both the Senate and House side for the ag committees here, and they've shown a willingness that they want to work together to get something done here in somewhat short order, it seems. Talk about what you've heard in terms of the Farm Bill and what this could all look like here under the 119th Congress.
Well, I think that, you know, A, it's drug on long enough. B, obviously, a lot of it's been money issues and challenges there. Reconciliation in 2025 perhaps will help with some of that. Certainly, you know, even some of the things that were done at the end of the year in 24, I think will help with that. So between all of that, I do believe that, you know, there's been a lot of policy work that's been done. Really, it's now just a matter of kind of figuring out exactly where the dollars are and negotiating a deal. It'll never go as fast as, you know, everybody's like, okay, let's get this done by February. It won't go that fast, but I am optimistic that we will get a farm bill done this year. And certainly on behalf of agriculture, we need to get a farm bill done. Very challenging farm economy and very hard to go get financing when you don't have a safety net that is providing any safety.
What's the biggest thing that sorghum producers would like to see with this new farm bill, Tim?
Well, it's just easy to say more farm in the farm bill. I mean, it's just the safety nets that have historically been a part of Title I are just not providing, you know, any real assurance. You know, sorghum's a little bit luckier that with the reference price being allowed to move up in the last farm bill, you know, we have seen our reference price move up pretty substantially. But, you know, even that in today's cost of production is a challenge. So, you know, I think that's the real factor for everybody is just how do we get a little bit more support and stability in the program as we move forward.
Tim, great thoughts as always. We appreciate the time as we look to close it out here. Any other final thoughts, anything you could think of that you'd mentioned that you're watching there with the National Sorghum Producers right now?
You know, I just encourage everybody and remind everybody, you know, we're part of a wonderful four commodity event at Commodity Classic coming up March 2nd through 5th in Denver. And sure, we will have a lot of leadership from Congress as well as the administration that will be there taking part in that event and, you know, be an opportunity for us to learn more about what next steps are on both of these fronts.
And I'm glad you brought that up. CommodityClassic.com for more info. And I just know that each and every year, Tim, whether it's the educational experiences, the seminars, the speakers, the trade show, et cetera, there is something for everyone at Commodity Classic. And if I believe, it's been a long time since we've gone this far west, right?
Well, it's first time, at least in my tenure there, to go to Denver. So it will be a new experience for everybody. We jump out to California every once in a while, but Denver will be a new experience for us. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and going to be a lot on the agenda. CommodityClassic.com for more there. You can also go to sorghumgrowers.com for more information. Tim Lust, the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, great to connect with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Jesse.
Once again, Tim Lust, the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, joining us here on AOA. And again, head to their website, sorghumgrowers.com, to stay up to date on various issues and programs and more with the National Sorghum Producers. All right, coming up next here on the show, we're going to talk about the outlook for 45Z, the Farm to Fly Act reintroduced in the Senate this past week. Also, Lee Zeldin racing towards confirmation to be the head of EPA. And we're going to take a look at some of the latest surrounding the Dear FTC lawsuit. Todd Neely, DTN Environmental Editor, is going to join us for a conversation coming up next here on AOA Agriculture of America. Are you heading to NCBA in San Antonio? On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Farm Rescue and Giving Hearts Day are a match made in heaven. This year, on Farm Rescue's 20th anniversary, some of our greatest supporters have blessed us by offering up to $500,000 to match donations made to Farm Rescue for Giving Hearts Day. Giving is open now through February 13th, and we invite you to make these blessings count with a gift to Farm Rescue today at givingheartsday.org.
Listening to
every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 16 to 1931, March up 3 to 1905, April up 5 to 1906, May milk up 3 at 1911. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as the trade continues to move contract higher, even though we haven't seen any sizable sales in the cash cattle market. So today's market could be busy as well. Meanwhile, we also have the cattle on feed report coming up, and traders are positioning ahead of that. Hog markets, meanwhile, are mostly lower today. Again, continued concerns about consumer demand are helping to pressure prices. February live cattle up 245 to 203.55. January feeder cattle up 80 cents to 277.87. February hogs up 5 cents to 82.17. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving up mostly lower. Argentina announced they would reduce export taxes on grains, soybeans, and soy products beginning Monday. That would allow Argentina to offer more onto the global market at cheaper prices, and that's pressuring the markets in the U.S. New crop corn down 2 to 462 and a quarter. New crop beans down 7 to 1046 and a quarter. Chicago wheat marched down 7.5 to 546 and a half. Minneapolis wheat marched now down 7 and a quarter to 597 and a quarter.
At AdMed Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service keep your vehicle's maintenance up to date. With SmartFlow from Adams Super Service, you will see what your vehicle needs, along with a detailed inspection emailed directly to you. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on today's program, let's get caught up on a number of issues that we've been paying attention to both on Capitol Hill and beyond. Joining us now, DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. Todd, don't think we've had a chance to officially talk besides email since the start of the new year. So happy new year to you. Welcome back to the show. Hope all is well.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the time on today.
Well, let's start here with Lee Zeldin. It looks like he is racing towards his confirmation to be the new head of EPA. I know he passed out a committee here this week. What's the latest you could tell us on Lee Zeldin and his odds of getting confirmation from the full Senate here, Todd?
Yeah, well, Jesse, you know, it's sort of interesting because, you know, we've been following a lot of the nominees, not just for EPA, but for Ag Secretary and others. And, you know, I think by and large, when you look at the Lee Zeldin situation, it's far different this time around in Trump 2.0. And what I mean by that is back in 2016, Trump's nominee was Scott Pruitt, who ended up being a very controversial and kind of divisive subject in the Trump administration the first time around. There was a lot of angst about Pruitt at the time amongst ethanol and ag interests. And now when we look at Lee Zeldin, you know, there have been questions raised about his past, you know, his beliefs about ethanol and the RFS. But by and large, there really hasn't been a lot of controversy about Zeldin. And I think just from the looks of it, I do think that he's probably going to be, you know, pushed through by the Senate relatively easily. For the most part, when you look at the hearing that was held in the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, I believe that was on the 16th, he didn't get a lot of hard questions. It was kind of interesting to see. You know, we all kind of tuned in and wondered, you know, where things were going to go, especially as it relates to agriculture. And from all, you know, all that we can tell, he made it through that committee in flying colors. And on the other hand, we don't really know entirely he stands on everything, other than he's had conversations, you know, with members of the Senate, including Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, who said in a press conference a couple of weeks ago that he came away with his conversation with Zeldin believing that, you know, he was going to support the RFS and do whatever the Trump administration's agenda was. And so from what we're seeing early on, I think it bodes pretty well for agriculture.
Well, supporting the RFS and other pieces here that I know the ag industry and the ethanol and biofuels industry is very much in favor of and watching. And I think one of those that can get roped in with this, with Zeldin potentially being at EPA and him having to work with USDA nominee Brooke Rollins, who seemingly is working towards confirmation as well, is going to be sustainable aviation fuel and 45Z and this whole conversation that, Todd, I know you've been covering this. We got, of course, the outgoing Biden administration released some of their guidance and intent to make rules and such. And then we also saw senators this week reintroduce the Farm to Fly Act. So looking at this situation, I know there's a lot of question marks still surrounding what's going to happen with SAF and much, much more, right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. You know, I think on 45Z, that particular issue, I think, is probably far bigger than anything the Farm to Fly Act can offer. You know, we're talking companies have already been looking toward this year, you know, biodiesel companies and others, with the idea that 45Z was going to kind of be a replacement to other tax credits in the industry. You know, when Trump came in, he signed a number of executive orders, and one of those basically put a freeze on federal regulations that were kind of, you know, in the process and guidance documents. You know, there was a big, it was a big deal when the Biden administration put out some guidance on 45Z and seemed like, at least, you know, on the surface, it seemed like a good thing, although there's a lot of questions that weren't answered. And I think we're still kind of at that point, really. We don't know what's going to come of 45Z, you know, with the Trump administration reviewing regulations and the like. you know, it's really something that I think senators and others look at this, and they probably are at the moment looking at other options, you know, for legislation that they might be able to push through. So far, not really heard anything from Trump other than he's not real supportive of the Inflation Reduction Act, obviously, that's where 45Z came from. So it's really wait and see. You know, we're just kind of trying to see what's going to become of this new legislation, which was actually introduced in the previous Congress, but it's up again, here at the start of the new Congress.
Todd, I wonder too, and I've been hearing from various folks with stake in the whole SAF 45Z debate here this week, and some have even mentioned to me that they think that 45Z sustainable aviation fuel, some of this might even be on life support, is the term that I've heard used. Is that, would you agree with that, or is that maybe going a little too far here right now?
Well, you know, Jesse, I think that the Trump administration's probably, you know, they've kind of made a point early on that they're going to include ethanol and agriculture and all these things that are important to rural America. It's going to be part of this administration in one form or another. You know, we heard a little bit on E15 and in an executive order. Now, you know, when you look at where 45Z came from and, the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, Trump's been very outspoken about what he calls the Green New Deal and basically eliminating it. But I don't know, you know, maybe there's some room here in this administration, to look at 45Z more closely. And, you know, once Trump hears from farmers and ranchers and others who are supportive of 45Z, maybe this is something that the administration gets behind in some form. Now, whether that means, you know, different legislation or new legislation that includes something similar to 45Z, I guess that's conceivable. But to say that 45Z is on life support, I just don't know at the moment. I think it's something that we ought to hold off on and see where Trump goes.
Todd Neely, DTN Environmental Editor, joining us here today on AOA. I want to spend a little time with you talking about this Dear FTC lawsuit. And I know that this is one that we've been watching for quite some time, and now getting this lawsuit out. And it's kind of interesting, the timeline here, because I believe it was the day before Dear rolled out some new language and thoughts about how they're going to allow farmers more accessibility to repair their equipment, et cetera. And then, you know, the next day we get this FTC lawsuit. I talk about what's going on here, some of the timeline, and even the response from John Deere, which is something that we haven't really seen in regards to other issues from Deere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we can make of the Federal Trade Commission lawsuit, it clearly came obviously from the Biden administration. Biden had been looking at, you know, competition issues in agriculture and other and all forms of industry. I do think that this is something that, you know, as the Trump administration really digs its heels in and begins to look at, you know, different areas of the administration that, different directions it might want to go. I think it's conceivable that that lawsuit against Deere could be dropped at some point. I don't know that that's the case. I've not heard that one way or the other. But you're right. What was really interesting is John Deere, the day after the lawsuit, they put out a very long, like I think a 2.5-page statement, which, we've been covering the right to repair issue. You know, we've seen farmer lawsuits against Deere in the past few years. There's been a lot that's happened, and almost every single time Deere doesn't respond at all. Like it's they say nothing. This time around, they were really put out by what the FTC had done, and partly because they had been involved with the FTC in trying to, you know, negotiate a settlement, whatever it may be. And so this lawsuit at the 11th hour by the Biden administration, I think, kind of caught Deere off guard in some respects. And I do think that, as it goes forward, I think there's probably some room within the Trump administration to negotiate this through the FTC. And it's really, it's really hard to say what will happen. I mean, there's a lot of legal actions. There's others that we've been following in the previous administration that have gone nowhere, and they're just kind of sitting in court still. So there's a lot of that out there, not just with this, but with a lot of other actions from the Biden administration that probably will play out in the next couple, 2 or 3 months.
And I would say, too, from what I've heard from folks, Todd, as we close out the segment here, the issue of right to repair, especially as technology evolves and continues to evolve, this is an issue that's not going to go away. And I would assume it's going to get something is going to get done, I would think, sometime relatively soon. At least I hope anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think deer sees the writing on the wall, too, that there are, you know, there are farmers out there that own deer equipment that aren't necessarily satisfied with the way things are going. And you're right. I think it seems that deer is at least trying to make an effort, you know, providing more tools and what they can do. But I think the big issue is obviously they farmers and independent repair shops, they want access to the same tools that you know, the deer dealerships have when it comes to diagnosing problems in machinery and getting them fixed. And I think that's ultimately where things kind of stand, that you know, if farmers and others can get full access to these tools, I think that would obviously solve the issue.
Todd, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Jesse.
Todd Neely with DTN, back with more right after this.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
Hey, I got you something.
What's this?
Just a little Galentine's gift from JTV.
Do you mean Jewelry Television? I love their jewelry. They have the
new customers get $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
And their artisan collections? Gorgeous.
Are you going to open your gift?
Oh, yeah. It's the pearl bracelet.
New customers receive $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? It seems impossible to find them. Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm your mountain bike. Been a minute since we hit the trail. Why not roll me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that keeps us all moving. Donate today. On your left. To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344.
800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as AOA continues here today. Well, USDA Secretary nominee Brooke Rollins had her day before the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee on Thursday and faced numerous questions from senators during that confirmation hearing. The questions ranged from trade and potential farm payments to biofuels and the issue of ag labor and mass deportations planned and underway by the Trump administration. Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman offered opening comments that pressed Rollins on a few different issues, including the current ag trade deficit of nearly $45 billion and potential Trump administration policies that could have a negative impact on U.S. agriculture. Rollins suggested that more farm payments may be the administration's answer to another trade war.
We are prepared to execute something similar if approved, if confirmed, but also working with the White House to ensure that we can close those holes for our farmers and ranchers.
Rollins also said one of her top priorities will be getting out $10 billion in disaster payments Congress okayed in December.
A fast and furious effort to ensure that we move that economic aid out.
Now, other priorities for Rollins include fighting animal diseases, modernizing USDA, supporting rural communities, cutting red tape, and helping Congress pass a new farm bill. But she also stuck by the GOP stance on SNAP work requirements, saying in part that she believes in work requirements, and I do think they're important, quote unquote. Now, also in an exchange with Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer talking about trade and biofuels and the role of USDA in creating new export markets, Senator Fischer brought up the trade deficit. Rollins, in response, said in part that $45 billion, what's remarkable about that is 42% of that is just in the last year. So the wheels are falling off, and it is very, very important that the wheels get put back on as soon as possible. Also, when it comes to trade, Rollins said this.
Last few years, we have almost a $45 billion trade deficit for our ag products. So a key priority will be expanding access to these markets across the country.
And on biofuels, despite her longstanding defense of fossil fuels and family oil investments, Rollins said in part in a response to Kansas Senator Roger Marshall.
I will be a secretary for all agriculture. It is really important to me that we continue to defend and elevate and honor all sources of fuel.
And on the hot button issue of the president's mass deportation orders and farms failing for loss of migrant labor, Rollins said,
the president's vision of a secure border and a mass deportation at a scale that matters is something I support. I was his domestic policy director in the last White House.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin pressed Rollins on the issue of deportation and concerns surrounding farm labor and mentioned that some 40% of agricultural workers in the U.S. are undocumented. Rollins did say, however, in response to the deportation concerns and farm labor, that she would work with Congress and the Department of Labor to look at reforms to the H-2A program for migrant farm labor. Now, Rollins won a lot of bipartisan kudos for her farm and public policy background during her hearing in front of the Senate Ag Committee, and it's expected that her confirmation as the 33rd USDA secretary is now expected. Well, as we take a look at other ag news headlines before we close out the show today, a recent poll asked farmers where they plan to cut costs in 2025. Equipment purchases topped the list, but farmers also plan to scale back on fertilizer rates, use more generic products, and reduce tillage or field passes. The theme that consumed the crop side of agriculture in 2024 was this: tighter margins, with producers from coast to coast searching for ways to cut back. It was a tough recipe for a lot of farmers, and it could be a similar story for 2025. We talked a lot about that cost price squeeze here throughout last year and a bit here early in 2025 as well. Now, out of the more than 1,300 farmers who responded to this online poll, the most glaring answer was machinery. Nearly 80% of farmers say that's an area they're likely to cut this year. Purchasing machinery was also a place farmers decided to scale back on in 2024. The latest Association of Equipment Manufacturers flash report shows sales of total farm tractors were down 13% on the year, and combines fell 24%. Purdue Farms is set to close a chicken production plant in Monterey, Tennessee, and will lay off more than 400 workers, the company confirmed to Agriculture Dive on Tuesday. The processor will shut down the facility on March 28th, citing changes in market demand and how it processes and supplies chicken products for today's customers. Addressing the Monterey plant's challenges would require substantial additional investments to maintain operations. About 433 jobs will be eliminated as part of the closure. Purdue CEO Kevin McAdams said in a statement that the company will provide severance packages and job placement support to affected workers. They said the decision was not made lightly, and they are committed to treating every impacted associate with dignity, respect, and care. The poultry processor is one of the latest meat packers to roll back production capabilities in 2023. Tyson Foods closed 6 chicken processing plants to address supply and demand imbalances and to shore up costs. And finally, here on the program today, as the new year is underway, Northwest cherry growers are looking forward to the next crop while putting a bow on the 2024 season. Northwest Cherry Growers President BJ Thurlby says it wasn't the best year ever, but it easily beat out the past couple of years.
We ended up packing 19.5 million 20-pound equivalent boxes. So ended up being a pretty good-sized crop. I don't know if you remember this when we talked about it before the season, but our estimate was literally spot on to that. And so we're happy kind of from an estimate standpoint that we ended up with that much fruit.
Thurlby says some regions had a rough winter, but overall,
this wasn't one of those years where we're going to say, whoa, it was a home run, and I'd love to talk about those years. But it was still a good year overall, and I think that there's, you know, growers that are going to end up, you know, staying in business for another year or two because of last year's kind of where we were at.
But Thurlby says the fruit quality was amazing across the board.
You know, last year was one of those years where you can't really pick what your favorite variety was, because from Chelan all the way through to the very end, Staccato, the varieties were all good, all ate well. And our growers just did an amazing job of putting together a crop that consumers really responded well to.
And Thurlby says the fruit quality helped keep them on store shelves longer.
I would say that, with some of the promotion activities we had planned, had a huge positive impact on the overall season.
And once again, that is Comments with BJ Thurlby, the president of Northwest Cherry Growers. With that, we are out of time here today on AOA. Thanks as always for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges.
At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast.
When you're in the thick of a project, Harbor Freight is the place that always comes in handy. Whether you're picking up something for your pickup truck or a power tool for your project, at Harbor Freight, your dollar always goes further. And these days, when everything seems to cost more, you can take pride in knowing that you get hardworking tools at hardworking prices. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump traveled to North Carolina to get briefed on recovery efforts and will be in California later to tour the destruction from wildfires